Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Coming up in the next hour on the programme, why American Secret Service agents won't be allowed to bring their guns into the Dáil chamber. We'll hear about the 68-year-old Spanish actress who had a baby using a surrogate and her deceased son's sperm. And Louise Reynolds will take us through the mineral supplements we should be taking and those we can leave behind. Now, though, we've all heard the claims that some alcohol, if taken in moderation, could be good for your health. Well, a new study examining decades of research has debunked that theory and found many previous studies on the issue were flawed. This review examined existing research on the health and drinking habits of nearly 5 million people. It also found that drinking relatively low levels of alcohol can actually increase the risk of disease. Professor Frank Murray is a liver specialist and chairman of Alcohol Action Ireland. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. So we're looking at this meta-analysis. It's 107 studies and they combed through the research to come up with what we're talking about today. Do the results surprise you at all?
Well, they disappoint me, but they don't surprise me. So what they find is there is no health benefit in drinking alcohol at all. And that, I think, should be stated very clearly. And the point they make from this meta-analysis, which evaluated almost 5 million people who are part of these various 107 studies you mentioned, was that there's no benefit from low-volume alcohol consumption. And that very much resounds with many of the other findings that have been found in recent years, which have found that whatever benefits there may be in ischemic heart disease, in coronary disease, which are small, whatever benefit there may be there is overwhelmed by the other harmful effects of alcohol, particularly the effect of alcohol in causing cancers at relatively low levels of consumption.
So you'll have people, sorry to interrupt you, Frank, but we'll be listening to this and saying, well, I've read that article, as most of us have, a glass of red wine every day, just one glass, is good for your heart health. You're saying that's as may be, but it's doing other things as well, undesirable things.
No, I'm not even saying that. I'm saying that certain types of heart disease, it may be helpful, but it's not at all helpful when you look at other types of heart disease and when you look at the other harmful negative impacts. For instance, if you look at atrial fibrillation, which is very common, you meet many people now who are on blood thinners because of atrial fibrillation. It's an irregular heartbeat due to problems in the atrium. That's precipitated by or caused by alcohol or worsened by alcohol or more likely to occur if people continue to drink. So, you know, so it's very important that we don't think alcohol is good for our heart. Alcohol can cause lots of different effects on our heart. In one particular condition, it may be helpful, but that beneficial effect is overwhelmed by the harmful effects.
So what then is the advice that we should be following, Frank?
So I think it's a tricky one, really, and I would argue that the impacts of we should look at alcohol like driving. So many, it's not like tobacco, really, but because we definitely don't want anybody using tobacco, because tobacco is such a harmful product. Whereas many of us want to drink for social reasons. I drink small amounts of alcohol myself. Many of my friends and family drink. So there's no question about getting rid of alcohol like we'd like to get rid of. Tobacco. But what it's much more like is driving. So we want to continue to drive, but we want to do it in a way that's safe. And I'd argue we should be looking at ways of making alcohol consumption safer. And the best way to do that is to very much restrict the amount of alcohol we take to very, very little. Mm-hmm. And make it something that we take as a celebration rather than as a routine. So to get back to the original question, drinking every day, very bad idea. The less we drink, the better. And in Ireland, we have very serious problems with drinking. We're one of the heaviest drinking countries in Western Europe, which is one of the heaviest drinking regions in the world. So we should be pushing down population alcohol consumption. We know that will have huge impacts.
How do you do it? How do you consume alcohol?
So what I do is, so we would open a bottle. We don't drink Monday to Thursday in general. That's not entirely true. We do make exceptions, but we don't drink from Monday to Thursday. We open a bottle of wine on a Friday, which we'd often finish on a Saturday. Or on a Sunday.
That's between two people. 2 days, two people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 or 3 days. two people. Now, I'm not saying we do, and sometimes we have a little bit more, but, you know, I wouldn't binge drink. You know, heavy episodic drinking, that's where people drink a lot of drink. Mm-hmm. That is very harmful, because not particularly because it leads to liver disease or cancers, but because of the harms of the event of drinking. So if you look at liver death, or if you look at alcohol death, about 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 deaths from alcohol is not due to chronic disease like cancer or liver disease or heart disease. It's due to the event of drinking, going out, falling off your bike, getting involved in a row, becoming depressed, taking your own life. So, you know, the event of drinking is a very significant cause of death due to accidents, incidents, etc. And we see that all the time.
And you, in your work as a liver specialist, I know you see people who are at the very raw end of this, and people who have succumbed to that notion of wine o'clock, and, you know, you get little kitchen signs saying that, and people have normalised having wine every day. There is a consequence, and you've seen that.
Oh, for certain. I mean, to be honest with you, I'll tell you how I got involved in speaking out about alcohol, because I worked just in the trenches for many years as a liver doctor, as a trainee and as a consultant. And I'd come home at night and I'd say to my wife, just the terrible things that I'd seen at work in terms of people dying from liver failure from alcohol at young ages, particularly, and especially when I came back from abroad, particularly young women, because we'd never really seen that before when I was a trainee. And my wife said, you know, Frank, what you're doing is futile. You need to try and influence people reducing their alcohol consumption in Ireland. So I naively got involved in that. And that's been my journey to where I am now. So I spent much of my time when I was in Bournemouth Hospital looking after people who had liver failure. Now, liver failure is a very tricky illness to treat, because we don't have, if you get respiratory failure or kidney failure, you can go on a ventilator or be dialyzed. There's no organ support system, you see, unfortunately, mm-hmm. for liver disease. So we saw and see terrible numbers of people dying from particularly alcohol-related liver disease. And it's worth saying, Claire, you know, if you look at the progress that's been made in Ireland and in Europe in relation to health, cancer death rates have fallen dramatically, heart death rates have fallen dramatically, many respiratory death rates have fallen, because they have, and that's been the direction of travel for everything except liver death. So liver deaths have been relentlessly increasing. Deaths due to liver disease have been relentlessly increasing.
And have you seen a change, Frank, in the people who are experiencing liver failure? I mean, I mentioned there, you know, women who have normalised a glass of wine or more every day. Are you seeing those people?
Oh, yeah, for certain. So just to put it in perspective, when I was a trainee, the people, most women dying from liver disease died from immune liver disease, which is completely unrelated to alcohol. And many of the people dying from alcohol-related liver disease were older and men. And a lot of them were doing things like, say, drinking in the early opening pubs and stuff like that. Not drinking at home, but it was quite a different kind of culture. Now things have changed. So there are far more women. Now, there are still far more men overall, because, you know, alcohol-related liver disease still kills about twice or three times as many men as women. But we now see far more women than we've saw previously, and increasing numbers. Mm-hmm. And that relates to what you said, wine o'clock, that sort of, and the marketing. And of course, this isn't because people sometimes say, oh, it's our culture to drink. That's rubbish. It's marketing and advertising.
And do you think that if you have a woman coming into you in her 40s who has liver failure, are they surprised that their lifestyle has led them to this point? Did they know what they were doing?
I think that very few people who are drinking really realise the risks associated with it. And it's become so normalised here in Ireland. Heavy drinking is the norm in many parts of Ireland. Heavy and harmful drinking. And people don't believe that they have a problem. And in fact, it's interesting. I've seen several patients who've said to me, I didn't realise, I'm not a problem drinker, I can stop now. And they stop now. They're not dependent on alcohol. Mm-hmm. They're habitual drinkers. They've never missed a day at work. They've looked after their children often reasonably well, although there are often terrible consequences for the family members and friends of people who've got alcohol-related problems, as well as for the patients themselves. As was very clearly outlined in your colleague Joe Duffy's shows recently, where he had a number of people on whose family members had died from alcohol or who had suffered consequences of alcohol themselves.
Frank, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. Professor Frank Murray with Food for Thought there for plenty of people listening, I'm sure. Now, we're just coming up to 11 o'clock. Let's go to the newsroom now and to Brian Jennings.